I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I just want to read Romans 8, 26 through 30, and then offer prayer. Just give you an opportunity to stand up and move around a little bit and get the blood flowing. Romans 8, starting in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your sovereign electing grace. We thank you for your omniscience. We thank you for your omnipotence. We praise you that you are all-knowing and all-powerful. And Father, at the same time, you are loving and gracious and merciful and kind. Father, who is a God like unto you? There is no God like our God. Father, just bless us now for this afternoon as we consider your word and the beautiful truth that we find in it. We ask for speaking and listening grace, that all that might be said might glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I've been doing a few of these afternoon services on a word study, either a Greek word or a Hebrew word. And I hope that this has been of some encouragement to you. And I want to do that this afternoon. Right here in Romans 8, verse 29, we have this beautiful passage of Scripture that starts for us and gives to us this what's referred to as this golden chain of salvation. And it starts in verse 29 where it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And then it says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he also called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." This tells us about our salvation from beginning to end. And there is each one of these things that it talks about here is like a link in a chain. And it's an unbreakable chain. All these links are tied together and you can't have a single one without the other. And they're all in the exact right order as well. And it starts with this, "For whom he did foreknow." And this is the word that I want us to consider this afternoon, this word foreknow here in the Greek. It's the word prognosko, P-R-O-G-I-N-O-S-K-O, prognosko. And it simply means just to know before. But we understand that it means a whole lot more than that. As we dig into it. And that's what I want us to see. This is such a beautiful word. And this is such a beautiful truth when talking about our salvation and how it began. That God foreknew you before the world began. And that it means not only did he just know about you, but he knows you intimately and he knew you absolutely, as we see in the word. So it's a combination of two words, pro, which is before, and then gnosko, which is has several meanings in the scriptures as used in the Greek. The first one, it just simply means to know, to become known, to understand or perceive. So when you use this word, you could just be talking about that you know something, you know someone, or you perceive something, or you understand something, and it could be used in this way. It could be becoming acquainted with someone. So you come to know someone that you didn't know before. You become acquainted with them. You find out things about them, right? You grow in your knowledge of them. So you understand where they were born. You understand where they came from. You understand their history. You become acquainted with them. You know them. You know things about them, and you learn more of their personality. So it's used in this way also. It's used to know absolutely when you're talking about someone that has known you from birth, right? Your mom, she knows you. Your parents, they know you. And what that means is they know more than just that you're their child and that you were born to them. They have been with you from the moment that you came into the world, right? They have known, your mom has known you ever since that you were conceived in her womb. She carried you in her womb and she knew you then. And then you were born into the world and they knew when you were born. They knew how much hair that you had. They knew what you weighed. They knew what your skin color was. They knew everything about you. And then as you grew up, they know all the things that happened to you in your life. So they know you as much as a person can be able to know someone. They know them absolutely. Well, when we think about the word know in Hebrew, when we think about how it was crossed over into the Greek, in the Jewish culture, we know that the word to know someone, that you knew someone, when it speaks of it in the Old Testament as it was translated, that goes even further than just knowing someone and facts about someone, but it talks about an intimate relationship with someone. And it's even used in that way. This Greek word is used in the New Testament in that way. So it's a Jewish idiom for the relationship that a husband and wife has with each other. It says of Adam that he what? He knew Eve. And it talks about men and women, they knew each other and then they had children. So it was a way for them to talk about that and use that word and just say that a man knew his wife or a wife knew her husband or that these two people knew each other. And it means that they had the closest intimacy with one or that two human beings can share. And that's what's in this word. And that's why as we study it and we think about what Paul is saying here in context, we understand that that's what it means. It means that God knew us intimately before the world began. He didn't know just that you were going to be born into the world. He didn't just know that you were going to be a male or a female. He didn't just know that you were going to be either good or bad. It says that he knew even the number of the hairs on our head. He knew us intimately and he loved us, as we'll see. It's really talking about love, being foreloved. He loved us before the world began. And it says this is the way that our salvation started. Because of the love that the Trinity had for one another, then that flowed out of the Trinity into loving a people, loving a certain group. And when it says that God foreknew us, it means that he foreloved us. He knew us absolutely. He knew us intimately before the world began. And then that led to him choosing us, predestinating us to save us before the world began. Because he loved us and knew us first, then out of that he chose us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And all those whom he foreloved, it says, all these other things happen. So this is a beautiful word. Let's just turn to a few passages of Scripture that use this word, gnosko. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. Talking about Joseph and Mary. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph did not know Mary in this way until they were married, until the time came. And it's not saying that he didn't know her at all, but he didn't know her in this usage of the word to know absolutely and to know intimately and to love intimately in this way. So it says that he did not know her in this way before they were married. Then what's interesting, and we know this passage, and this is one that we use to really prove this point in talking about how that God only foreknew in this way a certain group of people. It wasn't everybody in the world because of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 23. I'm going to start in verse 21. Jesus says this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And what does Jesus say to them? "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you." Well, how can that be if Jesus knows all things? Jesus is omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He has all power in heaven and on earth. So if he is all-knowing, then how could Jesus say to these people on the judgment day, how can he say to them that he never knew them? Unless this has a different meaning than just having all knowledge. He says, "I never knew you, gnosko. I never had known you in this way as one of my own, as one of those that I have chosen before the foundation of the world." So it's translated new in that way in both of these instances. Matthew 16, verse 3, it was translated in the King James Version as the word discern. Discern. Discern goes a little bit further than just knowing something, but it's the idea of knowing all the facts about it, but also being able to take it a step further and be able to apply that knowledge to something, to be able to discern. He says in Matthew 16:3, "And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering." And he says, "O ye hypocrites, ye can discern." Gnosko. You can know the face of the sky, but you cannot discern or know the signs of the times. So like, you know, you can tell when it's going to rain or when the weather's going to be bad, but you can't understand, you can't know and discern the times, that the Messiah has come, and that this is the day and age of the Messiah, and I am the Messiah. So same word, just translated discern. And then Matthew 21, in verse 45, is translated perceive. Matthew 21:45, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived," gnosko, "they perceived that he spake of them." They knew what he was saying. They knew what he was talking about when he used these parables. They understood absolutely that it was talking about them. So it can be translated in different ways, but the important ones for us to see were when it talks about Joseph and Mary, that it says he knew her not. This was intimate knowledge, relationship knowledge between a husband and a wife. And then when Jesus said, "I never knew you, I have never loved you," is basically what he was saying in this way. So then you take both of those and you put them together. To know beforehand, to know absolutely beforehand, to perceive and to become acquainted with beforehand. The Bible is telling us, and this Paul is telling us, that God knew everything about us before the world was ever made. Amen. Before we were ever brought into the world. To have knowledge beforehand, to foreknow of those whom God elected to salvation. And so we have this beautiful passage that tells us, "For whom he did foreknow, Those whom he foreloved, he predestinated. He chose, determined beforehand, to be conformed to the image of his Son. So you say, why did God choose me to be conformed to the image of Son? Why did God decide to save me and not others? Because it was his will. Because it was his choice. And because he loved you, he foreknew you before the world began. This is the beginning of our salvation. So this word is actually, prognosko, is only used 5 times in the New Testament. So it's not used very much. It's a special word. It's used here in Romans 8:29, Acts 26:5. It's used. Romans 11:2, which says, God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And then 2 Peter 3:17, you know these things before. And then when you look back into the Old Testament and you see in the New Testament how it speaks of God knowing his people, it goes more than just God knowing about us and having all knowledge. See, some people say that when it says those whom he foreknew, that it's saying that those whom he knew about, that he had knowledge of, just a general knowledge of, that talking about his prescience, that he just has knowledge of things before they happen. But that's not the way the Bible speaks of God knowing his people. Let's just turn to a few passages and see this. This is beautiful. Exodus 33 in verse 12. Moses' intercession. Moses speaking with God. Exodus 33 verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet you have said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, doesn't God know everyone by name? He does. But not everyone finds grace in his sight. There's a special knowing here, of knowing us by our name and us finding grace in his sight, that is in the idea of this God foreknowing us. And then verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also, for thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. Dear brothers and sisters, God knew you by name before the world began. He knew you by name and he called you by name before the world began. Those whom he foreknew, he also did predetermine to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Lord knows us by name. We receive grace in his sight. Psalm chapter 1 verse 6 says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of his people. He knows every single thing about you. He knows every single thought that you have ever had. He knows every single word that you have ever spoken. He knows every single thing that you would have done that you haven't done. God knows us absolutely. And this should terrify us, and it should amaze us, that even though he foreknew us and was fully acquainted with us, that it speaks that he loved us despite that, in spite of that. He loved us in spite of us knowing everything about us. But he knows the way of the righteous. He is intimately acquainted with every step that you take. And the Lord blesses the way of the righteous, that he does not bless the way of the wicked. It's made clear in Psalms. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 speaks of how God knew the prophet Jeremiah. And this is true of all of you that have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were foreknown by him. It says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. not just knew about you. I knew you absolutely. I loved you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Before we were all formed in the belly, God knew us. He knew us intimately. He knew who we would become. He knew what He would do in our lives. He knew us. He foreloved us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are His. Now the Lord knows everyone. God has all knowledge. But He only knows those that are His in this special way. He only loves those that are His. He has only loved before the foundation of the world those that are His. The Lord knows them, prognosko, them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So He knows us in a special way. And that's what we're seeing as it's used here, that this is talking about a special knowledge, an intimate knowing of God and His people, just like a husband and a wife know each other like no one else does. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect, those that are chosen. How? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The fact that He loved us before the world began. Then He chose us to be saved in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Father loved us. Through sanctification of the Spirit, that's how it's applied to us. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what happens in our lives. Because God the Father foreloved us, He determined to save us, and He gave His Son Jesus Christ to die for us. The Holy Spirit applies that to all those only whom He foreknew and foreloved, and they are the ones who live in the obedience of faith. All those whom He foreknew and He chose, they follow Him in obedience of faith. Because that is the unbreakable chain of salvation. For whom He did foreknow. So we see the Bible is clear that when it speaks of this knowledge, it's this absolutely knowing, it's this intimate knowledge, it's this special relationship that God has with His people. I hope that you don't take that for granted today. That the God of the universe, who could have easily passed over you, who could easily say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That if you love Him and have followed Him, then that means He chose you to be His special people. And He foreloved you before the world ever began. You see, brothers and sisters, the false teaching that God looked down through time and saw those who would have faith in Him and therefore He chose them, that goes against what this is saying. Because He loved us. He saw us in our wickedness. He saw us in our sin. And yet He loved us anyway. And tells us in Romans that Christ died for the ungodly. And so, it's not talking about that He looks down through time and He sees those that will choose Him and then therefore He loves them. That's the reverse order. Because He foreloves them and because He chooses them, then they are called and they follow Him. And then they are justified in His sight, and then one day they will be glorified before Him. So don't take this for granted. This is such a beautiful, beautiful truth. This is such a beautiful, beautiful word that God knew us before the world began. So I want to go back to Romans 8. Look at this one more time. This is encouragement for our life. Because God foreknew us, you can go back. If God has foreknown you, you can go back to verse 28, and it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." You see, those whom God foreloved, those whom He predestinated, those whom He calls, it says not only did He do all that, but He works all things together for good to all of those whom He has foreknown and called and predestinated, to those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. So you say, well, why is this important for me? What joy is there for me in knowing what this word talks about? Well, not only does it tell you that God loves you and that you have a special relationship with Him that others don't have, but it also says that everything in your life, God is working together for your good. So no matter whether, as Brady said this morning, suffering and pain come into our life, God is going to use that and work it together for your good if He has foreknown you. Because God's love is eternal. So if He foreknew us, and part of this means that He foreloved us, then that means He has always loved us and He always will love us. And so our whole life, He's going to love us. He loved us before our life began. He's going to love us our whole life, and He's going to continue to love us throughout eternity. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. This is the reason. This is the result, I should say, of God foreknowing you and electing you, was so that you would become like Jesus Christ. Not so that He could just get you into heaven. But He wants to make you like Christ here and now. And one day you will be made more like unto Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and we will be like Him. So this is a beautiful truth, brothers and sisters. And I just want to end with a couple of quotes from John Gill and Matthew Henry, just two of my favorite commentators, and what they say on this foreknow. First of all, Matthew Henry: "All that God designed for glory and happiness as the end, He decreed to grace and holiness as the way. Not whom He did foreknow to be holy, those He predestinated to be so. The counsels and decrees of God do not truckle to the frail and fickle will of men. No, God's foreknowledge of the saints is the same with that everlasting love wherewith He is said to have loved them." Jeremiah 31, verse 3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." God's knowing His people is the same with His owning them. He owns us. Words of knowledge often in Scripture denote affection. So here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, 1 Peter 1, 2. And the same word is rendered foreordained, 1 Peter 1:20. "For whom He did foreknow," that is, whom He designed for His friends and favorites. God designed for you to be His friends and His favorites, His special people, His peculiar people, His holy nation. That's what this word means, has in it, the result of it. "I know thee by name," God said to Moses. And He has said, each one of you, "I know you by name. I loved you before the world began." John Gill's, I think, is even a little better. "The foreknowledge of God here does not intend His prescience or prescience," I don't know the right way to say it, "of all things future, by which He foreknows and foretells things to come, and which distinguishes Him from all of the gods and is so called, not with respect to Himself, with whom all things are present, but with respect to us, and which is eternal, universal, certain, and infallible. For in this sense, He foreknows all men." And if this was the meaning here, then all men would have been predestinated and conformed to the image of His Son. But all men are not conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So this does not mean that He knew all men. just with regular knowledge. No. They are called by His grace, justified and glorified, whereas they are a special people whom God has foreknown. He says, nor is this foreknowledge to be understood of any provision or foresight of the good works, holiness, faith, and perseverance of men therein, upon which God predestinates them to happiness. Since this would make something out of God and not His good pleasure the cause of predestination, which was done before and without any consideration of good or evil, and is entirely owing to the free grace of God, and is the ground and foundation of good works, faith, holiness, and perseverance in them. So it's God first, and then the works follow. But this regards the everlasting love of God to His own people, His delight in them and approbation of them. In this sense, He knew them. He foreknew them from everlasting, affectionately loved them, and took infinite delight and pleasure in them. And this is the foundation of their predestination and election, of their conformity to Christ, and of their calling, justification, and glorification. Brothers and sisters, that's glorious. That's glorious. Everlasting love of God to His own people, His delight in them, and approbation of them. He knew you from everlasting, affectionately loved you, and took infinite delight in pleasure in you. There's no one else like that. There's no one else like that. We can't know each other in that way. We can't love each other in that way. Only God can do that. So when you read this and it says, in whom He foreknew, I hope you understand how precious that is and how beautiful that is and how much that you should love God because He loved you from before the world began.